Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Look out, it's only films to be buried with.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a Chuck E. Cheese, and I love films. As F. Scott Fitzgerald once said, I was within and without, simultaneously enchanted and repelled by the inexhaustible variety of life. Yes, Beau is Afraid is long and exhausting, but it's also endlessly inventive and wild and original and funny and wonderfully ambitious and deserves a lot more credit. Fair enough. I agree, F. Every week, I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Barry Jenkins, Himesh Patel, Sharon Stone, and even Crib Lambles. But this week, it's the wonderful comedian, writer, and actor, it's Mo Welch. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get extra stuff from all the episodes. You get an extra 20, 25 minutes of me and Mo. You get a secret from her. You get videos. You get all sorts. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. So, Mo Welch. Mo Welch is a brilliant comedian, writer, and actor. She's been doing most of my stand-up dates with me on my tour that I'm doing in America. She's been opening for me. She's far too good to be opening for me, but somehow she's agreed to come along. She's fucking brilliant. If you've never seen her, you should check her out. She's got a special coming out in December called Dad Jokes. We recorded this in a hotel, in person, in real life. Can you imagine that? It happened. Anyway, I really think you're going to love this one. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 275 of Films to be Buried With. Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is I, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by an actor, a writer, a comic book artist, a artist, an exhibitioner, a comic stripper, a TV writer, a creator, an originator, an opener, a middler, a closer, an incredible stand-up, and most of all, one of the best stand-ups currently working in the America regions of the world. Here she is. She's amazing. She also is a sketco. She does it all. She's a hero. She's a legend. I can't believe I managed to wangle her onto the podcast. Please welcome to the show. It's the one and only. Here she is. I can't believe it. Can you believe it? It's Mo Welch.
Oh my God. What an intro. Thank you.
I am here with Mo Welch. We are in New York City. The strike has ended.
Yes, it's ended.
Congratulations.
I can finally act again.
I am here in New York City doing my stand-up tour show. Mo Welch has been opening for me. Mm-hmm. Mo Welch is a fantastic, wonderful comedian and far too good to be opening for me. And somehow, basically through some nefarious shenanigans, I've tricked her into coming on tour with me. And she's sort of doing so well that I might have to fire her soon. Anyway, here we are. We're in a hotel room in New York City. How are you, Mo?
I'm great. This is the best gig ever. I'm so excited. I mean, New York, we just met We just met Pink. I mean, like, that was crazy.
Pink came to the show. It was one of the greatest nights of all of our lives.
I imagine she does look at stand-up and she's like, why are you not moving more?
Yeah.
I mean, because in her show she does...
Why aren't you hanging upside down?
Trapeze.
Yeah, it does look pretty lame. And also, neither Mo or myself are massively movers on stage.
Yeah, not
I'd
yet.
Say we take up about a meter of stage space. Yeah.
We could really do it like on the steps up to the stage.
Anyway, lovely to see you. Now, you do comedy?
I do comedy, yeah.
You do writing?
I do writing.
You also, what is unique about you, I think, is that you also draw.
Yeah.
And you're doing a show or have done a show. Tell us about the show with the drawings.
I was last year. I spent all year putting together a show where I could have my art happening behind me as I spoke. So I had to have the words had to be like word for word, and I couldn't mess up any word because the word would like trigger the drawing behind me.
Did you trigger it?
No, I had somebody doing it for me because it was like, it was too much to do all of that. Yeah, weird. I started to draw, like I used to be an artist like when I was a kid, and then I gave it up. And then when I was like turning 30, I had this moment where I was like, I'm going to draw. Like I was like kind of at rock bottom and I drew this comic. And then I just kept drawing that character that became Blair.
It looks like you.
Yeah, it's just like a depressed, it's like an older Daria.
Yeah.
And I just kept doing that every single day. It helped me get out of the rock bottom. And then I was... Help me write jokes again.
Can I share something with the listener that you showed me? And if you want to cut it, we can.
Yes.
I think it's a truly beautiful thing. Mo showed me a picture of her daughter on a bed. And on the bed is a pillow behind the daughter's head. And the pillow is a pillow from Mo's childhood when Mo was five.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a drawing that you were asked to do by your mum.
Yes.
Self-portrait.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a portrait of a very simple drawing, but very good, clear drawing of like a... slightly sad clown.
Yes.
You were 5 years old.
Uh-huh.
And the elements of that five-year-old drawing, I think, are in Blair.
Yeah.
And it's really amazing.
I never even put that together, but yeah, that makes sense. My mom is a seamstress. She's an electrician by trade, but she's a seamstress. And she had us do a self-portrait, and then she copied that. And she didn't make any changes.
Wow.
So I have blonde hair and a clown mouth. And then the clown flower coming out of my head, a dress and no arms.
It's so interesting. That's what you drew.
She just
said, draw a picture of yourself.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then look at us now, clowning around.
Clowning around NYC.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful that. So you're touring with me, which means you leave behind your wife and baby.
Yes.
For much of the week. High five.
High five. Yes. Yeah, I know. People are always so worried about that. It's so funny.
No, I mean, you're always talking to them, right? You talk to them all the time, all day.
Yeah, of course. And you know how it is. It's like there's weeks where there's no shows at all. And then it like comes back and, you know, it's ebb and flow with my wife is in the industry and she's a writer. So some days she's like on set forever and then I'm there. So it's just...
That's life you've got.
Oh, yeah.
You've absolutely nailed it. One other thing we have to talk about, something about a little special you want to tell us about?
Oh my gosh, this podcast, you're just trying to prop me up, aren't you?
Well, I have to be careful. I don't want you to become so successful that you will never open for me again.
No, I doubt I'll be successful.
Okay, that's the spirit.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I like this. It's actually a choice that I'm not as successful. Yeah, I have a special called Dad Jokes coming out on Veeps, which is part of Live Nation. And it comes out on December 10th.
And it's not quite a normal special. Is it, Maya?
It's a docu special.
And you have a funny story about
Did you ever watch Comics Unleashed?
No.
It's on in the hotel room. Like, honestly, like tonight it'll be on.
Okay.
But it was one of those shows where they'd have four comics on, and it was on forever. It's still syndicated. And it's just like that. They're like, so you don't like to be on an airplane, do you, Brett? You know, and then you just like, it's not seamless at all.
Like a chat.
Yes.
That's great. So you're special. It's kind of different, huh?
It is different. It's a docu-special, so what happened, I mean, I realized in the pandemic, I have all these dad jokes about my dad, and I haven't seen him for 20 years. And so the whole conceit of the special was first just a documentary. It was like, what if I go tell all these dad jokes kind of on the road in shows and at the same time go travel to see my dad for the first time so that I could like get some new dad jokes. And it ended up being an hour special.
Did he know you were coming? Or did you surprise him?
Well, you'll have to see. We'll have to see. Does he even show up at the end?
When do we have to, how long do we have to wait? December 10th?
Yeah, December 10th. And if you want to fast forward, it's probably like at minute 52. You fast forward through all of it.
Skip to the end. Oh, right.
Yeah.
What's with?
Oh, I got it. Yeah, I don't need these jokes on the way.
Oh, my. Oh, shit, I forgot to tell you something. God, this is mad I haven't told you this because we've been hanging out a lot. You'd think it would come up. And I just haven't. I think it's partly that I haven't found the sort of right time to say it, but it's also, I just keep forgetting it as well. I get caught up in the present, I guess. You know what I mean?
That's good.
I think it's good, but it also is like bad when you find out what I haven't told you. I think you're going to be a bit annoyed, but because I could have told you, yes, I'll just say it. I hope you're not offended, but you've died. You're dead.
God, sorry. I thought you were going to say I was fired. This is, this is amazing.
You're dead.
Wow.
Dead.
Wow.
Dead. How did you die?
I don't want my death to be funny, but have you ever seen Frasier, Kelsey Grammer fall off the stage?
I have. I find it very sad.
Yeah.
You die.
That's how I died. It was on tour with you, and it was a very high stage.
Is this why you don't move at all?
This is why I don't move.
Because
you
foresaw your death.
That's why I stay in that 1 foot square.
So you just took a wonder. You put arm move about a bit.
Yeah. Oh my god! I have to send you this clip of this comic.
Have you seen it? The Laugh Factory.
Yes.
I can't believe that's real.
Yeah.
Because of what his. Because
of what he was saying. he was just talking about pegging. Just imagine like the part of your set where you're like kind of like, well, this is like gross, but I'll get through it, and you fall off and become viral. I was telling, I have this new joke about my bush going through TSA, and I was pretty nervous about telling that joke because people don't really want to hear about that, and right in the middle I fall off stage to my death before the punchline.
This point either.
It's the point of the show where people are like, wait, where is this going?
Yeah.
Like, where's Brett? I don't. Can she introduce Brett?
And you fall off stage, boom. Smack your head in the seat on an audience member?
No, it's like, there's always like a chair right there.
Yeah.
And I kind of like scissored it in a way where
What, sliced you up the middle?
Sliced me right up the middle. It's the best show.
Until you split part in two parts?
Yes. And I was like a snake where they were still moving.
Oh, wow.
Part of me was still like, had the microphone. Bush, bush, bush,
bush.
Fuck.
Yeah. What did I do?
This is brutal.
Just came on and did the show, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you can't leave.
God, there's people that you can't.
I mean, it's a hard act to follow.
Yeah.
But yeah, they paid to see you.
Yeah. But did they sort of quietly sort of clean you up as I...
Yeah, they're just like, it's just the opener. There's many more openers in New York.
Just ignore the snake.
Yeah.
The two sides of mine that are still slithering on the floor.
Can we turn off her microphone?
Well, it's not the worst way to go.
No.
I'd prefer it if you...
I made it.
Like, I just did on a banger of a punchline and you weren't in the middle and they felt awkward.
I know.
Shame to leave them with that.
But I don't think
that will be their takeaway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they'll forget that they were weirded out about your bush stuff.
I don't know. I think maybe the headlines are going to be like, Bush can be...
Bush comic splits herself into
and then you're going to have to tell them. It was actually like, it wasn't completely true what she was saying. It was more of a joke.
Guys, listen, we're all going to miss my bird. Just for her legacy, I think it's important. You know, her bush did not set off an X-ray machine. Okay? That's what I was saying.
Yeah, it was a joke. And then there's this whole other movement about truth in comedy. And like...
It was an emotional truth.
Yes. And I get in trouble for that post-mortem.
God, this is so complicated. So political, mm-hmm. Your death. I can't believe it.
It is political.
Do you worry about death?
Yeah.
How much?
I think a fair amount. More in COVID, I feel like I would wake up in the middle of the night worried. But yeah, sometimes like in these hotel rooms, you're just like, you know, we're comics on the road. But luckily, we're not like huge partiers.
My neighbor in the room next door is...
Oh, really?
A real party guy.
Do you know who he is?
I don't, but I know he likes...
He's a DJ.
I think he's maybe a DJ.
Yeah.
Adisa, yeah.
Yeah.
So you worry about dying alone in the hotel room?
Yeah. That's why I honestly think that's kind of why I will fall asleep sitting up a little bit.
In case you...
I don't know.
Die in your sleep.
No, I'm just like, I don't think I can die halfway sitting up for some reason.
Like the Elephant Man.
Yeah, I'm just like that. Like, I'm like, you know, I'll be like this and I'll be like on TikTok and then all of a sudden I'm just like sleeping like this. It's like, for some reason, I'm like, well, if I'm propped up, it's almost like a choking hazard. Like, well, if I'm propped up, I can't die.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
No one died sitting up.
No one's ever died sitting up.
No. I think that's a fact. Do you worry more about death since you've had a kid or the same? When did you first start worrying about death? Do you remember?
Well, when I was 12, I stopped going to church because I would go to the cemetery and I kind of just... I don't know. I think I was aware of death. And I was like, wait, all the shit they're talking about can't be real. And people are really just dead in the ground here. And so at 12, I really was like, okay, it does happen. So you have to make some goals.
So hang on. So you think there's nothing when you die? And you thought that when you were 12?
Yeah.
You think that it's just blackout?
Yeah.
Silence?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Nothingness?
Nothing. Yeah. It's hard.
You really think that?
Yeah,
you imagine.
I actually do think that, yeah.
Wow.
But I would love to be proven wrong.
Well, guess what, buddy boy? You're wrong.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. There's a heaven. You're welcome, despite your abhorrent views on death.
Oh, my God, I'm welcome.
You're welcome, because it's all love.
I found out this podcast is just like a church.
By the end
it's
of
like
the
a cult.
Yeah. You'll love it here. There's a heaven. You're welcome. It's filled with your favorite thing. What's your favorite thing?
Films.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, I thought that was... I thought we were improvising.
We...
What is my favorite thing? My family?
I think you're going to regret that.
Yeah.
Right, you've come to heaven. This is absolutely jammed packed with your family. It is nothing but your family. It's your family everywhere.
Amazing. No, that would be a nightmare.
It's what you chose, and I'm happy for you. So all your family are there.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, great.
And there's like replicas of them, and they're cloned, and they're everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there's your family. Welcome to heaven. They're all excited to see all your family in heaven. All of them.
Yeah.
That's all that's there.
Yeah, that's
just your family.
Yeah.
Right?
Hell is in heaven. Yeah. Hell is a layer of heaven.
It's your family.
Okay.
Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to heaven. But you're wishing for nothingness. They're very excited because they're your family and they love you and they've all missed you and they want to talk to you about your life. And they're like, well, we know a lot about your life. Maybe we're your family. We know everything about your life. But what we don't know is about your life through film, necessarily. Some of it they probably do know. But nonetheless, to catch everyone up, the first thing they ask you is, what's the first film you remember seeing, my world?
I mean, you're going to love this, The Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to love
it. Yeah.
That is a great opener.
It was the first movie I saw in the theater.
Wow. How old were you?
I want to say I was 5 or 6. And my mom brought us the movie. It was my sister, Michaela, me, and Sandra. And she brought the three of us to the movie. It was like a huge deal.
Yeah.
Because we were really, really poor. And we get there.
Which cinema is it? Do you remember?
It was in Normal, Illinois.
Maybe.
Yeah. And she...
Sorry to interrupt. You have five.
There's five, yeah.
Which number are you in the five?
I'm the second. Okay. So at this time, there's only three of us. Okay. She brought us there. It's kind of an iconic story. I mean, it was like such a formative story for me.
Right.
During the credits, at the beginning, the movie hasn't even started yet. My mom was like, we're leaving the movie, the very first movie.
Why?
And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, Michaela pooped her pants. She literally shit her pants in the movie theater.
Just...
we were probably eating something bad. And we had to leave the movie theater. She got her money back, though, because there was, like, that deal. If it's, like, been within, like, 20 or 30 minutes, you can get your movie, your money back, at least back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she got her money back. But the worst part of the story was that I laughed so hard in the back of the station wagon that I shit my pants, too. And then, so it was, like, truly, like, we had diarrhea. It was disgusting. So I go to the bath, like the second we get home, I run to the bathroom and everyone's just like banging on the door, but they never knew until I told it instead. Like I did the story for like a Conan thing. And then they're like, you fucking shit your pants. The whole time you were shaming me. That was my first. Yeah.
So your first memory of film is A Lot of Poo?
Yeah.
Did you go back and see Little Mermaid?
We must have waited until it came out on tape. But it was everyone, I had a sleeping bag and everything. It was all Little Mermaid for me.
Do you have PTSD now when you go to the cinema?
I mean, I don't really go to the movies. Yeah. It's probably linked.
Definitely linked.
Yeah.
What is the film that scared you the most?
Do you know the film Fire in the Sky?
I fucking do know that film.
Okay.
I saw it and I think about it a lot. It was a film in the 90s.
Yes.
It had D.B. Sweeney in it, and it is about a true story of an alien abduction.
Yes.
And it was abducted by aliens, his story, told very straight and for real. I've seen it. Terrifying. Tell me.
So my dad had no filter on what he was like. He didn't have that thing where it's like, oh, I should turn this off. There are like little kids in the room.
Right.
And there's a part in that film where the aliens clamp his eye like this and then put goo in it. And my entire life after watching that, I couldn't do eye drops. Like my mom would have to like put her knee on my chest in order to put eye drops in, like when you get pink eye. It was so terrifying. There's some movies where you're like, why am I so afraid of like something in my life? And you realize it's just from a film you watched when you were a child. Freddy Krueger was the same because my parents had a waterbed he would come out through the waterbed. And I'm just like, it's terrifying.
Yeah, I wonder if these things are good for us. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I've been fucked up by so many films.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably changed the course of my life.
Because you're like, what is real?
I'm sure I mentioned this on the podcast before. There's a film called Frozen. Not that one. The other one. And it's about three people stuck on a ski lift. Like the resort closes down for the weekend. And it's like Friday night and they're high up on these ski lifts. And the whole film is the 3 days of them like trying to survive as they're being frozen alive. And
that's terrifying.
Scene in it where one of the guys is like, this is a spoiler, so skip ahead if you want to see Frozen. One of the guys is like, maybe we're not that high. Maybe one of us could jump down and get help. And the guy jumps down and there's a shot of his legs when he lands on the ground and like his bones shoot out of his thighs. I think about that every day probably. I'm now scared of legs.
Yeah, scared of legs. What a twist. No, I go skiing all the time. I've been stuck on a lift many times.
But legs are terrible.
Legs.
They can just suddenly pop out. It's so horrible. And genuinely sort of loops like a trauma where I'm like, that didn't happen. It was in a film.
Yeah.
But I see it.
No, there are things. Yeah. And even in love stories, you just go like, wait, how much of love is actually real or like a romantic situation? And how much is it like us playing films in our head?
All of that, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's number two. Actually, you're number two.
Yeah.
Do you like being scared?
Yeah, I like horror films.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the film that made you cry the most? Are you a crier?
I am.
Do you cry in normal life?
Uh-huh.
On the daily?
No. I can go a while without crying, but it takes like a movie to make me cry or a TV show. Anything that has like anything to do with being a mother now, any film, any scene in a TV show, I'm crying. Especially if they're like, you know, it could just be a character that'd be like, you know, moms work hard. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. It's like, so I'm such a sucker now. But I did cry at Stepmom. I really remember bawling at Stepmom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. But that film is designed to make you cry, right?
Yeah. I didn't cry at Stepbrothers though. But Stepmom. Woo. And I was a kid when I watched that, so I remember, and then it's like I can't watch it now. I know I'm like, I'm never gonna be able to watch that film. I'll cry.
Who would you get to be the stepmom if you were dying, if you knew the night that you were gonna fall off the stage and be split into?
I want someone Sam can really get along with.
Who's it gonna be, do you think?
Julia Roberts would be great. But she seems pretty straight. Love Rosie O'Donnell to come in.
Yeah Okay.
I think she'd be a great mother.
I think she would.
Yeah, she's already got some kids. Melissa Etheridge changed it. Sorry.
Yeah, Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah.
Dan, right. That's a okay, well, we'll let her know.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right. They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
What is the film that people don't like? It's not critically acclaimed. You love it unconditionally. You don't give a shit what anyone says.
Well, a lot of my friends like this film, but I don't think Rotten Tomatoes does. Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Love it.
Yeah, it's like comics love it. And most people do, but I just know it's like not critically acclaimed. And I'm like, I watched that movie. And also any of like those SNL movies that had such bad Rotten Tomatoes scores, Superstar, Night of the Roxbury, like any SNL character film, I like fucking loved.
Would you like to do one of them?
Yes.
What's the character, Larry Bird?
Yeah, Larry Bird. I'm going to be Larry Bird in an SNL film. Yeah, Winning Time is canceled on HBO, so I think there's room.
For the next Larry Bird?
Yeah, me.
On the other hand, what is the film that you used to love? You loved it so much, and then you watched it recently and you thought, I don't like this anymore, for various reasons.
I mean, honestly, it's like anything with violence is hard to watch. Like, I haven't seen Casino in a while, but like that's sort of hard. Film, those are hard to watch now, where like when I was watching them for the first time, and I watched Casino hundreds of times.
Right.
Yeah. And now I think like the violence thing gets to me a little more.
What changed for you?
I mean, it's not just like being a mom. I think I'm just like, Jesus, like I fast forward through all of the violent stuff.
I feel the same.
Anything with like sexual assault too, I'm just like, fast forward.
Yeah.
Like Kill Bill, I'd have to fast forward that, like the scene.
The buck.
The like, the buck of it. But then I like, and Kill Bill is hot. Like, I mean, those are like, you know, it's like one of my favorite movies. And it's just, I love how the blood sprays, so it's not as like believable, you know.
I really don't like watching people get hurt. And I guess it's got worse as I get older. Is it just getting older, or is it the world is scary?
And I think it's gotten more believable the way that they make the films. The production value is just better.
That's true. What is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but the experience you had around seeing it will always make it special to you, my watch.
This is another formative. It's like, I'd love to say something that I watched with, you know, my wife, but there is a formative experience that's different. So it's not poop, but it is body. So my junior high boyfriend, we went to the Lake Theater in Oak Park, Illinois, together, and we saw Gattaca. And it was such like, you know, like going through puberty sort of moment where I was so nervous and I like had a sweating problem. So I was like sweating, and it took me the entire movie of Gattaca to move my hand from my body all the way up his shirt and to graze his armpit to see if he had any hair in his armpit. And it took the entire film. And I'll never forget it. It was like the inching of my hand from my body to his armpit.
Why are we, what did you want out of bear?
It was just like my version of feeling him up, I guess.
Hoping he had hair?
Yeah, I was trying to see, because I was like, oh, I want to, like, basically, is this, yeah, is he going through, yeah, puberty yet? I think I was just fascinated with guys with armpit hair.
And what happened when you got to the armpit?
I'm pretty sure he did have armpit hair.
And then what happened?
And then we saw another movie. I can't remember what movie we saw, but we saw a double movie.
Oh, wow.
And then since I knew, I probably...
Did you put your other hand up as ever when you were just holding it like a baby?
And I'm like, I have a boyfriend! But it's such a formative experience. It's not...
Did you kiss?
I don't even know. I mean, like, look how long it took me to get to his armpit, which is a classic
But that's also like ticket. Was he like...
He probably didn't even notice the, like... the climb.
Was it, like, up his shirt sleeve?
Yeah.
So you're, like, awkwardly in his...
Yeah. It was a bold move. A move no other... No other girl has ever done that. But that was a little bit of, like, the fun and the problem with, like, not having a lot of information and not really, like, you know, we didn't have, like, a home computer or anything. So I was just like, I think this is what you do. But I'll never forget Gattaca because of that.
That's a great answer. A perfect answer. What happened to that guy?
He joined the military. Yeah, and shaved his armpits. No, I'm just kidding.
What is the film that you most relate to, my works?
He Got Game.
I love that film.
Yeah.
Tell me everything.
One of the, like, films I've watched the most in my life, for sure. I think, you know, my dad was in prison when I was little for a while.
I didn't know that. What was he in prison for, my...
Stealing TVs on multiple occasions.
What did he do with them? Resell them or bring them home?
I mean, he had to drop them.
Right.
And run. Not get away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go visit?
No, I was little. Yeah. I was like baby. And like my dad was off on work release when I was, what is the word I'm looking for?
Old enough?
No, when they had sex to have me, what was the word I'm looking for?
Oh, conjugal rights?
Yes.
Oh, what? So like your mom came to like a caravan at the prison and they had sex?
Yeah.
And she made you?
Yeah.
They made you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how I came in the world. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I didn't relate. I mean, I didn't relate in a big way, but it was just like, it was there and I love basketball.
Yes.
Like, it was just like every minute of my teenage life was just watching basketball. And there was like something to the, like, I love watching a movie where it's like somebody you wouldn't expect gets to like fulfill a dream like that.
Did you want to play basketball?
Yeah.
Personally?
Yeah. No. I mean, you could have, like, I thought I could have, but no, there was no way ever. Mm. Yeah. But there was a love of basketball keeps you in the moment. And I think I was just like addicted to being in the moment like that.
You still play, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're still.
I'm bad now. I'm like Larry Bird in his last year. I'm just like on the sideline. My back hurts. I'm so bad.
Do you tell me something yesterday that I don't understand? That you love basketball, you watch basketball time, but you don't have a team?
Yeah, it's technically the Bulls, but like, yeah, because I worked in sports before comedy, I at one point was like, why am I following these like basically kids like trying to fulfill their dreams? And I just felt like, you know what, I need to like stop paying attention to these kids and like actually go find my own dream. And then a part of me is like, I know we were talking about like just like the allegiance you have to a team. Mm. I feel like such a lone wolf in a way that like I have no allegiance. I don't even have allegiance to Chicago. Like I have, you know, like or to like a comedy scene. I feel like I don't like that anyone could claim me because and it's like an outsider thing where I'm like, well, you didn't want me then. So, you know, you'll never have me.
You never have me. Chicago Bulls.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
you
if they
didn't want me. Now go back. You can't have me.
Now you can't have me. That's on you.
I get that. That's interesting. All right, then. Here we go. What's the sexiest film you've ever seen, my work?
Blue is the Warmest Color.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the lesbian films,
mm-hmm.
people will say, yeah, but it was directed by a man and you can tell. And you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a film where I'm like, kind of glad it was directed by a man. Like, in some parts, I'm like, I'm kind of happy, though. You know?
Can you be any more specific? I think I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Perhaps the listener would like some more information.
I'm trying to think if I can...
What's the telltale sign of a lesbian film directed by a man?
If you're watching a sex scene mm-hmm. and you're saying, is that really how it's done?
Oh, okay.
Then no.
That's the giveaway.
Yeah, you're like, I don't think so. There's also a lot of there's a lot of tension in lesbian films. That one didn't have as much, I thought, and I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, lesbian films, I mean, this is, you know, directed by a man too, but like Carol and Tar was different. Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
That's a woman.
Yeah, that one's a woman. Yeah. Yeah. But the tension is high. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I love, yeah, I'll probably talk about that one later. Okay.
I mean, it's a fucking great film.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's sad. It has a troubled backstory. The actors didn't seem happy with how it was made.
Oh, really?
It's very sad because it's such a good film.
That is sad. I didn't do any research.
They're so brilliant in it. And it's beautiful and it's very sexy. Yeah.
Well, there are other, like, there's Something About Mary. I mean, there are a lot of movies that, Adventures with Babysitting, like, where you just, like, the lead is, you know, enough. Elizabeth Shue with a trench coat, for me, I was like, I mean, that was enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
Mm-hmm.
Subcategory, Traveling Boners, Worrying Wydons. A film you found arousing, but you didn't know, you think you probably shouldn't have.
Cool. I mean, that's a lot of...
That's a lot of films.
That's a lot of films. That's a lot of, like...
Yeah, right.
Oh, you know what? Like, Pearl Harbor.
I mean, it totally depends when you're aroused.
That's the hard part about those films. It's like, guys, this is about war.
Mm.
And then there's like a full-on sex scene to keep the ladies interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
He's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great film.
There aren't a lot of films where it would surprise me. Like, most films have sex scenes in them or sexual tension.
So Pearl Harbor's your answer. It's great.
Yeah.
Never come up on the podcast.
Okay, good.
What is objectively, the greatest film of all time, my words.
Okay. I have a comedy. Uncle Buck, to me, is my favorite film of all time.
Beautiful.
And then Goodfellas, which I'm sure you've heard a million times.
That's...
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I can even say that. I'll never cut that. You know, I put a list on the homework of films that I talked about too much. I'll never put Goodfellas on that list.
Yeah.
I love it. I'll never... You can talk about it all you want.
It's incredible. And then from something more recent is Parasite, because I watched it a few times now because I just keep finding myself watching it again, and I love it.
So good.
Yeah.
Hang on, Goodfellas and Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck.
What a double bill.
Uncle Buck, I mean, there's nobody better. John Candy, like, when I think the fact that he's not here on Earth anymore really bothers me.
Yeah.
But he fell off a stage doing stand-up, and everybody knows that. It's the greatest, you know, the end of Uncle Buck. He's in the kitchen kind of hiding while the mother and the daughter are having their moment. And I rewatched Uncle Buck recently. And the mother-daughter story is what gets me crying.
Really?
I haven't
seen it in a long time. Yeah. It holds up.
Yeah.
Loved it. I love it.
But at the end, John Candy, like, accidentally, like, knocks down all the pots. And I laugh so hard. Like, you think I've never seen comedy before. But it's so good.
I remember a lot of that film. Like that stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that the legs coming in the snow did, but in a better way.
In a better
way. Him on the phone.
Yeah.
All that.
It's so. We had a car like that growing up. So I'm like, it's so relatable just having this like nasty car. It sounds like there's like a bomb going off every time you park.
Have we had a John Candy replacement? No. There's no John Candy.
Yeah, I don't think.
John Candy's acting. A thing that can make me cry like that in 10 seconds is the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
I can watch that without having watched the rest of the film and I'll still cry.
Yeah.
Just that scene.
He's an incredible actor. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's incredible. Yeah, like anyone who's like super comedic but can like get you to cry like that.
Mm. He's really special.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, likable. Oh boy.
So likable.
So likable.
Lovable.
Lovable. You love it.
And Uncle Buck has it all as... What's his face? Macaulay Culkin, yeah. Gabby Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Power tools. A bowling ball on his head.
Bowling, yes. That guy, I'll never forget the moment where that guy in the bowling alley was like being cool with his toothpick and then go on the top of his mouth like a Dorito.
And hang on, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. I mean, my high school boyfriend was like very Italian.
No,
he wishes. Yeah. We couldn't go to that many movies and figure out what else was going on with our anatomy. No, I had like this like super, he was like 100% Italian, I think. Mm-hmm. And he loved all those films. And then so I just got really into them as well. And it's so good. I mean, Goodfellas is the best.
Goodfellas is the best.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting you bring up Casino, because Casino is the one that is too violent.
Yeah.
I find it. I there's scenes in that I can't watch. I'm like, I don't know. We need to see this baseball bat constantly hitting this guy in the head. I don't think we need to see that.
Yeah.
We don't need to see. This is too much.
It is. And honestly, I haven't seen Goodfellas in a couple of years, so I'm curious if it would make
I think Goodfellas is not that. I mean, it has nasty stuff in it, but I don't think it, like, it's moving too far. Like, Casino is like, there's bits in it that revel in it, seemingly.
Right.
In the violence in a way that is really like, stop.
Stop it. We get it. You're like, put down the pen.
Yeah. But it's brilliant. Other than all that horrible stuff.
Yeah.
What is the film that made you laugh the most?
Uncle Buck is.
Okay, you can have it twice.
I can?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it's probably going to be Uncle Buck because it keeps giving. I keep watching it every holiday season. So.
Yeah. Okay. What is, we don't have to be negative, so we'll do it quick. What's the worst film you ever seen?
I really like bad films. You know what? I can't watch any of the, like, Avengers or, like, all of that stuff. I'm going to put them all in a category together. Oh, but, like, all of those movies, I can't watch them. Yeah.
Have you watched any of them?
Yeah, I've watched them. And I don't want to point out any specifics because, to me, they're all the same. I'm just like, oh, my God, when is this over? Like, it's just a genre I cannot get into.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, if it's like, if you sat me down, you're like, you have to watch this, like, Avengers or whatever. Yeah. I'd just be like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I just can't do it.
Avengers or whatever is a really funny title.
Yeah. Avengers or whatever. It's like I keep feeling like when I'm on a plane, I'm like, when just watch one of them.
When AI fully takes over and there's 3 billion properties, there will be this is Avengers or whatever.
Avengers or whatever. It's like 3 hours long, all the characters. Like, yeah, and I don't like when all the characters get together.
Mm, you want everyone lone wolfing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
You don't want everyone teaming up.
Mm-mm.
Enough with the team ups.
Yeah, it's just like, aren't they from like different worlds? I don't know. It's like, it's too much. Like, it's too much to have that many heroes. Come on, let's make it believable.
What is the film you could or have watched the most over and over again? Is it Uncle Buck?
I mean, yeah, of course it's Uncle Buck.
Second place?
Let's see. Second place, But I'm a Cheerleader. I'm just going to, I'll bring in all the lesbian movies here.
Please.
Yeah. But I'm a Cheerleader is a great film, and I love watching it because it reminds me of being in high school. And I think Wes Anderson saw But I'm a Cheerleader and took a note.
Interesting.
And I don't have proof of timeline, but I'm like, when Jamie Babbitt made that movie, it was like so cool and artistic. And, you know, I wonder if she continued to make movies in that way with like that sort of production value, if she would have been like, I mean, she has a great career, but like, she would have been like Wes Anderson.
How old were you when you had your first experience with a woman, if I may ask?
I was actually kind of late to the game. Yeah, I was in my 20s. It was after I started comedy.
And if we can, and previous to that, you didn't, you thought about it a lot?
No.
No.
I didn't.
Just thought, I like armpit hair.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
I had long-term boyfriends. And I was like, maybe it'll kick in at some point. I was like, maybe I'll really love these guys at some point. I'm just like waiting for the kick in. And then comedy like broke me open in a way where I think I like saw the world differently and like was able to feel things finally. Because I was so happy. Like, just like blissfully unaware of anything up until comedy. And then I was...
Your boyfriends just kept shaving their armpits.
Yeah, these big bodybuilder boyfriends.
Smooth skin. Smooth skin.
Yeah.
When your skin's smooth, that's all right.
Yeah, if you have like one extra hair on you, that's obviously disgusting. So... yeah, so a lot of these... And I remember seeing that in high school, but I'm a Cheerleader.
Mm.
And then some of these films, like The L Word, is a TV show.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't watch that until I was already out. And so I kind of got to consume all of anything that was gay, like later.
When you had your first experience, were you like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Immediately. Actually, like a girl at a bar in Denver was like someone said she was interested in me. And I was like, it was like the concept was so foreign to me. I'm just like, what are you talking about? What do you mean interested in me? And then I think like for the next week, I'm like, my God, like my heart is like pounding. Cannot wait to go back to Rock Bottom Brewery and in Denver.
Didn't you go there?
No, it's like a chain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's wicked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to you know, I'm kind of happy in
you
a way that
you
I
weren't can with a boyfriend when you had this discovery, were you? You'd broken
No, I had a boyfriend.
Oh, you yeah. did? Mm-hmm. So then did you go to him and say, oh, big news?
No, I was just like, obviously my comedy career is taking off. I'm doing open mics in Denver. I'm like, obviously I don't have time for this relationship. You seem really into the outdoors. So I think we should go our own way. And I remember he was like, yeah, but comedy is a hobby. And I remember being so offended. And keep in mind, open mic comedian. I was so offended.
You were right to
be. Yeah. I was like, you're out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not just because I'm gay.
Yeah. Actually, that has nothing to do with it. It's all because you don't think that my open mic career isn't going anywhere.
How long did it take you to adjust? That's so interesting, though, to be that late. Was it like a week and then you're like, hey, everything's cool, it makes sense? Was there any like struggle? Like, does this make sense?
Yeah, it went back and it went back and forth. And like I talk about in my set, I haven't, maybe I will tonight, actually.
Do it tonight.
You know, when I came out, I had some jokes already about my boyfriend. And, you know, like when you're first starting in comedy, those first 5 minutes are gold and you don't have anything else.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't out. Partly because I was just like, oh, I have these jokes. Like, what am I going to do? Rewrite my whole set?
You can't just change the name to a girl's name. There's all these dicks in these jokes.
Yeah, exactly. No one's going to believe my girlfriend's 6'5". That's part of this joke.
What a life.
But it is people who knew that they were gay, like, you know, my age, like, you know, in early 2000s or whatever, knew that they were gay. I feel for them in a way because it's like, I didn't even realize all of the, like, that all the films are so heteronormative and that, like, every love story, you know, that it's so niche to have a gay love story, especially back then. And, like, all the advertising is for a heteronormative, you know, world.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy in a way that, like, I would, you know, I was, like, fucking ignorant and just living with my boyfriend. Day, yeah.
Oh, hang on.
I'm like, wait a second.
This is different.
And then it was fun to consume all of, like, any gay media that I could get all at once. Like, you know, at 23, just being, like, a week, just, like, watching everything.
Were you, like suddenly very, like, pretentious about it in bars, just smoking, just talking about really obvious references? You ever seen Ellen?
I'm like, that's so funny. It reminds me of an Ellen bit. So when you're in the dressing room, my only reference was Ellen.
Guys, do you watch Ellen? Yeah, we've seen Ellen. Yeah, fascinating. So you did go back and forth before you fully committed.
Yeah, I had, you know, back in the early days, I was just kind of, it was just like dating around though, really. It was never like boyfriend. It was like old flames, that sort of thing.
Mm.
Yeah. Until I could get more material. And then I was off to the races.
It's good to see you again, my oldies man. Yeah, I still I can't really knew you're going to have to just show up at this gig with me for a couple of times.
Yeah, I've got like three more shows and then I'm ready.
Yeah. Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity, so I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu.
Thanks, Maureen.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator, where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals, marketing plans? Yeah. Meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12? Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Hello. You've been wonderful, as expected. However, when you were opening for me and you were having quite a good, it was going well. I'd say you'd done 10 minutes. They warmed to you in Uncle Buck style.
Mm-hmm.
They thought you were funny and lovely and they're charismatic and they're really into it. And then you started talking about your bush setting off an X-ray machine and it made them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dan, they didn't mind admitting that.
Mm-hmm.
It turned them off a bit. They were like, they didn't want to think about a bush, didn't want to particularly imagine you with a bush.
Yeah.
I think the idea frightened them.
Get it.
I think for the first 10 minutes, they've been thinking, she's clearly got no bush. And then you start talking about your bush. I think it changed who you were to them. You suddenly felt unsafe.
Yeah.
I think they thought, we are in the hands of a dangerous person.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were trying to clear up, you could sense it. You're attuned to an audience.
Yeah.
You could sense them pulling away and being scared, frightened, terrified, mm-hmm. if anything. And you stepped forward. You normally stay very still, but you thought, no, I must come to them. You know, they weren't leaning in anymore. You must come to them as you step forward to explain, this is humour.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, of course, you were about to say, of course I don't actually have a bush.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry that I scared you with that imagery. And you stepped forward to draw them in, draw them closer. But your foot went off the edge of the stage. You hadn't seen the spotlight. And there was a chair. And you stepped forward. You fell directly down. And the edge of the chair was quite sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And it split right up your your nunu
mm-hmm.
and went straight through your head. Perfect. Split in two. And you went boosh, 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 boosh. And you fell on the floor and wriggled about for two bits. Some people screamed. Some people applauded. A few people audibly said, thank God we don't have to hear about the bush anymore. I'm at the side of the stage. I got a coffin with me, you know what I'm like. Someone at the back of me goes, where's the stage, guys? And I come out, I go, normally I come out and sort of hug you as we pass each other, you know, but you're not there. I'm like, what? I go, hey guys, round of applause for Mo Welch. And it's like this. Someone stands up, standing over. Yeah, which is sweet. And I go, she's good, right? People go, just a couple of questions before we carry on. And they go, what? They go, is she dead? And then I look down and I go, oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, she's dead. Some more people clap. Another person stands up. And then another person goes, I'm really confused. Does she have a bush? And I go, I actually don't know. It's not really. What I can guarantee is that was humour that was happening. I'm sorry if it scared you. That's not what we're trying. We're just trying to all have a good time here. And I said, are any ashes around? And they said, yeah, they come over. But there's like a lot of popcorn and sort of like hard candy on the floor. You're stuck in the carpet, the two sides of you. And so I'm like, oh, guys. I go, sorry, guys. I have got a show, but if we could just, can we put some music on something for a minute? I can't climb down the steps carefully because I know how dangerous that chair is. And I start peeling you off the carpet. But you're bringing chunks of carpet with you. People are helping. Like, there's now like 10 to 12 people come and peeling bits of you off. Bits of carpet, stuff you in the coffin. There's more of you than I was expecting, what with all these carpet bits.
I'm tall.
You're taller than you look. And And you also were in your Larry Bird costume, which has still so you're a lot taller. And your mustache. So eventually, get you in the coffin, but it's round. There's really no room in this coffin. There's only enough room for me to slide one DVD into the side for you to take across to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. What film are you going to take to show your family in heaven when it is your movie night? Mo Welch, go.
I don't want to say.
Is it Uncle Buck? Or you just, this is private?
No, I don't know if they want to watch Uncle Buck, to be honest. So I'm going to pick Home Alone, because I know they all love that.
It's selfless of you. It is your heaven, and you already made the mistake of inviting your entire family.
Yeah.
So maybe you should do something for yourself.
Okay. There's so many movies. It's like I want to do a John Hughes movie.
Mm-hmm. You can.
I'm going with Uncle Buck. Okay. I'm sorry. I know, but it's...
Hey, it's your life.
When you get on the spot on the podcast, you just forget that there's any, like, that there's more than five movies.
I know, and you did brilliantly. Uncle Buck is a brilliant film, and it isn't talked about enough, and you talked about it enough.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Now you're going to put it on your list. And nobody can talk about Uncle Buck.
Because my wife did it six times.
Yeah.
Out of 12. My wife, you're an absolute delight. I'm so grateful you did the podcast. I'm so grateful you're on this tour. Is there anything you'd like to tell people to look out for and watch or buy?
Watch. I mean, follow me on Instagram for my art at Momo Welch and watch Dad Jokes when it comes out on December 10th. Just follow me on Instagram for updates and see if I meet my dad. Spooky.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you for having me.
Have a wonderful day. I'll see you tonight.
See you in part two tomorrow.
Keep your feet firmly on the stage tonight, please. Thank you. Good day to you.
So that was episode 275. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra secrets, questions and video with Mo. Go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, but write about the film that means the most to you and why. It's a lovely thing to read and it helps numbers and it's really appreciated, blah, 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 blah. Thank you so much to Mo for being so great. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to iHeartMedia and Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. That is it for now. Come join me next week for another incredible guest. That is it for now. But in the meantime, have a lovely week. And please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.